We have coming up Senator Keith Wagner from the 39th District, which stretches from Skykomish in King County, two precincts in King County, Skykomish, through East Snohomish County, Elliott, to Cedar Woolley and parts of Skagit County. He is introducing a bill that would bring back the death penalty for specific crimes, and he joins us now. Senator Wagner, how are you, sir? Senator, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me on this morning.
You bet. Thanks for talking about this issue, because I tend to believe in the death penalty. I know that's a contra opinion with a lot of people today, and we're phasing it out in the state. But you've got a specific reason why to bring back this penalty in a specific instance, specific crime. Let's talk about that. What are you concerned about? Why do you want to bring it back for this crime?
Well, as you point out, I mean, logical and well-meaning people can disagree on the death penalty, but the recent Supreme Court decision sort of turned our justice upside down. You know, typically, the worse your crime, the worse the consequence is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've created a situation where the most heinous crimes have no consequence. And this really stings. You may remember Officer Jamie Bindle's murder while she was performing her duties as a correction officer.
Yep.
Her murderer now will never face the ultimate penalty for the ultimate crime. And that thought was really the catalyst for this bill. The people who work there and also the inmates that are in our charge have been put in a really dangerous situation where there's no penalty for extreme violence and murder in our prisons.
I think you raise a really good point here. It's not just the guards, also the inmates. Because if you have someone who has murdered someone and in normal situation or 20 years ago would have gotten the death penalty, now they get life in prison without parole, which personal opinion, Senator, is a joke, because some governor 20 years from now or legislature 10 years from now can change that. There is no such thing as life in prison without parole, because you can't mandate what future generations will do when it comes to the law. So regardless of that, though, you have people who have committed murder serving life who now think, well, gee, if I kill somebody else, what are they going to do to me? Give me a second life sentence, a third life sentence? And if they so believe, as they did with the correction officer up in Monroe, the female correction officer that was murdered in the chapel by this thug, inmates are at risk as well. And you have to have some type of leverage or punishment for these people to act as a deterrent from them continuing to do what they do.
That's right. Right now, there's no disincentive to continue to commit murder while you're incarcerated, either for life or for a very long time that feels like life. And that just puts everybody in that environment in a dangerous situation. And our corrections officers, you know, they're not there getting rich and famous.
That's right.
They go in every day with the risk of violence occurring, and their families have to worry, their children have to worry. And it's not an unfounded worry. I mean, we say that in Jamie's case. Think about her family now gets no justice, and she gets no justice. And I can't go back and fix that, but I can hopefully get this bill through to fix it for the future.
Right, and prevent it from happening in the future. Now, I assume that you've talked with some of the legislators down there that are anti-death penalty. Does it click with them that in particular cases this might be necessary to be a disincentive, as you say, for certain types of behavior? Does it click with them?
I just dropped the bill a couple days ago, and I'm kind of surprised about the attention it's received, because it seems like just a small fix to a very small segment of offenders.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't really started the conversation yet. I hope that they will see that this is fixing a hopefully unintended consequence of the court's ruling.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Unintended consequence is a very commonly used phrase when it comes to government, because oftentimes people don't look ahead to see what the consequence of their action will be and don't think about all the aspects and all the possible impact it has. And this is one that's so obvious to me. When you're asking our prison staff to, in essence, circulate among some really dangerous people, oftentimes in small numbers, I spent a couple of hours once in the King County Jail with the union that represents the prison guards and prison staff. And I was just there for a couple of hours. I got to tell you, Senator, I felt pretty uneasy. there on a Saturday night with all the inmates there, me not knowing what they've done, at least the guards and the staff would have some sense of who was who. But it's not an easy feeling realizing you could be overwhelmed at any time if they really wanted to.
Right, and I had the same feeling. I recently was a keynote speaker at a graduating class of our correction officers, and I can tell you Officer Bindle's memory is with them. Her picture is on all the walls. That is fresh in their memory, and I think we do them a great disservice if we don't support them on this issue.
No, I agree. We don't give them very much pay. We don't offer them much support. They have what I would say is a hell of a job having to deal with these people who've been put away for everything from minor crimes for a year and a half to life sentences. We expect them to keep control and to provide a safe environment for most of the inmates who probably aren't troublemakers. They're there and accept their punishment. They just want to get out. But you have a core of people who I think are, we could almost call them evil. And how do we deal with that? And I think we need to show support for the prison staff and them doing that.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And then getting back to how we got here, I think the court made an erroneous ruling based on erroneous information. So it takes just a layperson, which I am when it comes to the law, took me 15 minutes to check the numbers on executions. And if you remember, they ruled against the death penalty based on the idea that it unfairly impacted minorities.
Right.
Well, if you just look at the data who has been executed, you'll find that that is just patently false.
Mm-hmm.
We've had 78 executions since the early 1900s, and 12 of those people, if you want to look at that aspect of the demographic, 12 of those people you could call minorities. So mathematically, they just ruled in a way that I can't imagine how they got to that conclusion. And but 100% of those people, and this is how I like to look at the demographic, 100% of them were convicted of a heinous crime mm-hmm. by a jury of their peers, and it was determined they couldn't live with the rest of us.
Yeah, there's this crazy idea out there that somehow there has to be there's what they call disparate impact. 10% of the population is blue, and 12% of the people that get executed are blue. Therefore, that's disparate because it shouldn't be. Well, maybe blue people commit more crimes, or maybe other people don't commit as many crimes. This idea that there has to be this numeric correlation is ridiculous. And as you say, it's not true to begin with, because the numbers actually show that minorities are underrepresented, if you want to look at it in that sense, among those who have been executed over the years. They're underrepresented. They don't represent the full proportion of the population. So that's a really silly idea. The only question should be, is someone who is being executed, found guilty of the crime, convicted as an appropriate punishment? It should have nothing to do with race or color or anything else. Is the conviction valid, and is it a valid punishment for the crime the person is has been convicted of? Pickpocketing? Of course not. Jaywalking? Of course not. Murder of a prison guard? I think very appropriate.
Yes, and so coming back to the bill doesn't, you know, automatically guarantee the death penalty for an offender. All it does is convenes a review panel, and they make a recommendation. And I think that's, you know, a very fair way to approach the problem.
What is the number of the bill, Senator?
So it's Senate Bill 5364. We're calling it the Officer Jamie Bindle Bill. And we've been in contact with her family, and they support that idea.
I would hope that you might get some of them to come down and testify when the time comes for the committee hearing. I would hope they'd be willing to do that.
Well, I'm hoping that I get a committee hearing.
It's a little different being the minority, right? One of the reasons
it certainly is.
It is. I would ask the listeners, if you have feelings about this issue, if you think it's right that we protect our prison staff by reinstituting the death penalty in certain circumstances, particularly assault or killing of a prison guard like Jamie, you would call 800-562-6000 and ask your state senator. If you don't know who it is, they'll know. You tell them where you live, they'll know what senator sent it to, that you support Senate Bill 5364, and you'd like to urge a hearing on that. That's 5364. And Senator, if you keep in touch with us and let us know as it gets closer to the decision-making process, we'll give out numbers of individual committee members, especially the chairman, and urge calls to the chairman of the committee to suggest he move on this and at least let it out of committee to the floor for a vote.
Well, I certainly appreciate that type of support. And I would just remind all our constituents that there's good people on both sides. And when you call down and make your opinion known, you know, temper yourself and be polite.
Please.
I know it's an emotional thing, but we have to work through these things in a civil way.
We do. And you don't fight fire with fire, fight fire with water. And being rude, crude, and name-calling gets you nowhere. Being polite and respectful will at least get you listened to, and they may even agree with you if you do it in a temperate way. So always, always do that. Don't call down and yell and scream. That's not what they're there for. They're there to hear your opinion, and please do that respectfully. Senator Keith Wagner, 39th District. Senator, thank you for what you do. Thank you for this bill, and stay in touch with us. We'll do what we can to help.
Thank you, Kirby, and have a great day.
You bet. You too. Thanks very much.